Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. For fabulous ideas and great savings, the winter sale is not to be missed. Now on, in-store or at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. Well, in fairness, we have a Taoiseach. It's Simon Harris, and we have Minister for Health. It's still Stephen Donnelly. And you may recall when we were doing the HRT situation where the Department of Health, well, Stephen Donnelly himself, in his budget speech and a number of speeches during the election, said free HRT from the 1st of January. Well, that didn't happen. And when we were doing it, some wag worked out that of the number of working days available last year, 2024, that works out around 220 if you give everyone 4 weeks holidays and the bank holidays and weekends obviously off. Of the number of working days available last year, the Dáil sat for less than half of them. Remember, it was gone for most of November because the election sat one day in December. That was the 18th, the Wednesday before Christmas, and that was, in the words of Miriam Lord, to give everyone a chance to go onto the plinth and get all the new TDs and their photographs taken. And as she said on that day, I'm quoting from the Irish Times the next morning, by 12 o'clock on the 18th of December, which is the only day they met, the Dáil bar was heaving. And now they're back today for one day again. And Mary Lou McDonald, she's using the phrase holidays, and we're going back, and she's against it, obviously. She says we're going back on our holidays. So a number of people want to talk about this. Declan Alcock, your quick point, please, and Carlo.
Hi, Joe, how are things?
Good.
It's, I think people at home in their kitchen, watching this on the television today, still haven't decided who's Taoiseach, and then going off on a break. A carer caring for an elderly relative or a child or a sibling that has an intellectual disability on a basic social welfare payment of carer's allowance, and they're saving the state millions and millions and millions. And remember, there's some people, carers at home in the kitchen watching today, that don't even get a carer's allowance because of the means test. And now they're hearing this farce. And I'd be the first to say that just because the Dáil is not sitting, they're not at work.
Okay.
But it's the public relations exercise is what's the problem here. They're talking about going off on holidays, and it's these people at home around the country in their kitchen listening to this on the radio or on the television and saving the state millions and millions as being carers, and yet a lot of them don't even get the carers allowance because it's being tested.
Okay. Now, do you know what the row is about today? That's the ructions in the Dáil.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, would you want to impart it? Because
it's a bit of a laugh as well. I mean, they're actually exposing themselves that you have people. The usual story with politicians: they want to run with the hare and chase with the hound. They want to be in government in opposition when it suits them, and that's So there's no point in going on. You can go on about that forever and ever, but that's really what it's about with this technical group thing. And in fairness, they're being aided and abetted by both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. It's all about numbers. It's all about power. It's all about who's going to be Taoiseach.
But surely one way of giving everyone more speaking time in the Dáil, and they're on the radio non-stop and television non-stop, every station. So they can't say people don't know what they're up to. One way of giving more time to everybody in the Dáil is to sit more often.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's it. Why don't you start out and do that? I mean, okay, just because they sit more often, it doesn't mean the 174 of them all have to be in there at the one time.
Well, yeah, they seldom are. In fairness.
Yeah, and I mean, and in fairness to the, just because they're not actually sitting, they are at work, they're in their constituency, they're at various things.
Yeah,
so like that,
yeah, I understand that.
But
yeah.
It just sends out a wrong signal, it sends out the whole thing. And as I said, there's people struggling today. There's businesses, even small businesses, ready to go. They're terrified of the VAT reduction, the whole thing. And they don't know what's going to happen. You had to think of the people about their job in Wexford there we heard about
BMI,
yesterday. Yeah. They don't know where they're going to go or they're going to have to move and the whole thing. And that will be extra expense on people having to travel to Dublin or down to Cork if their job is secured. And that's what we have. But, I mean, the whole system. The whole signal is just sending the whole thing out wrong. And I believe as well, Joe, and this is just another little point, that on a yearly basis and automatic, it should be published exactly what each member of the Oireachtas receives in salaries, allowances and the whole thing, and instead of having to go through all freedom of information or whatever, and every former member of the Oireachtas what pension they receive as well. And we need that to be brought more out into
well,
the public.
Well, that was, in fairness, that was challenged by the Oireachtas, and that's no longer, the pension payments are no longer available to the public.
Well, it should be.
Declan,
well,
say there, Joe at rt.ie 51551. Declan Holmes is in Wicklow, another Declan. Declan, what's missing from the Dáil this morning, in your opinion?
In my opinion, there was Ted, Dougal, Jack and Mrs. Doyle were missing from the Dáil this morning.
In
because
what, yes,
it is a complete farce. Up and down the length and breadth of this country, there's team managers and team coaches every week pick a team.
Yeah.
They put 15 out on the pitch and they have 3 or 4 subs and the rest of the players can go along to the game.
Yeah.
And it's like if the rest of the players went to the coach and said, look, boss, I'm going to play for the other side. And if the other side are standing there and they see all these lads come along, why should they give up their place to the other team? It's a farce.
But does the analogy hold? Because basically what the members of the RIG, the Regional Independent Group, the members who do not have, I think there's 3 of them that do not have the state car, so to speak, the driver, the 2 drivers and the car is paid for by expenses, obviously. And what they're saying, the 3 of them that don't have ministerial, they should be allowed to ask questions of everybody. But the opposition, the rest of the opposition, so to speak, are saying, no, you shouldn't, because you're not members of the opposition.
Correct. Yeah. And it was very well put there by your previous caller, my name's Declan Carlo, that it sends out the wrong signal entirely. And then, Joe, you go and there's a job advertised.
Mm.
You go to the interview. They ring you up to say you've got the job. Start Monday morning. In you go Monday morning, meet your new boss. How are your boss? Not so bad. Come here, I want the next 2 weeks off.
Yeah,
what do you think the boss is going to think of you?
Okay. Look,
they can bury themselves in precedent.
You see, but it won't, in one way, it won't make a difference. Micheál Martin would be Taoiseach. Could be today, could be tomorrow. It would be very unusual if it was held overnight. Historically, I don't think there's a precedent, but it could happen. If the Dáil breaks down again, it's broken down twice already. This is some of the chaos that was there this morning.
Cam Corlett, there is no good reason not to give us the OPLA legal advice now. Tell us when we'll get the legal advice, Cam
Corlett.
We need to get the legal advice, Cam Corlett.
You can suspend the House again if you can't resume.
We need to get the legal advice, Cam Corlett.
Suspend the House for 30 minutes, thank you very much.
What pub was that on a Friday night?
Exactly.
Brian Gould. In Cork.
Holy Joe, I want to be in that pub as well.
That's a cheaper pint, apparently, than everywhere. Anyway, neither here nor there. This is but is it serious? Because either way, we have a government. Simon Harris is Taoiseach, and okay, a few people who are not TDs are still ministers, effectively. Stephen Donnelly is still Minister for Health, and he's been given interviews everywhere except Liveline, of course, when we asked him over the last few weeks about one-to-one interviews about how brilliant he was at his job. Rightly so, I suppose. You'd hardly say otherwise. But so we still have all that government in situ, and we will have, either way, the votes can't change. Micheál Martin, no one else can be elected Taoiseach. So does it make a difference apart from the raucous?
No, well, I suppose the independent TDs have shown that they can play a senior role, you know.
Oh, bloody right they have. Bloody right. They've outmanoeuvred everybody. It's the Social Democrats, the Labour Party. They've outmanoeuvred them, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, yeah. I mean, before independents were mavericks, one issue thing might be about a hospital or a road or something. But no, you have the independent TDs and they're looking after their constituencies. Whereas, you know, the likes of Labour and the Green Party wanted to save the world. the independent TDs just want to look after their own constituencies.
Mm.
And that will make sure that they get elected at the next election. They won't be, if they go into government and opposition at the same time, they won't suffer the same fate as Labour and the Greens, that they'd be annihilated. I'd say, like, if I was a TD, a backbench TD for Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, I'd be seriously thinking about coming in independent, because you get more as an independent than you would as a backbench or TD.
That's the way the numbers stack up. Like Tony Gregory, going back to the late Tony Gregory, he was just one TD, but he had the balance of power, and the Haughey Fitzgerald battle, as it was in those days, when Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael used to hate each other. Now they're a married couple, and they're about to renew their vows this afternoon. They're so happy together. But what do you think the opposition...
But Brian, the opposition,
Sinn Féin, Labour, I hear now a bit more today than it was mainly led by Sinn Féin and Boyd Barra. They're saying we are the opposition. We should have all the opposition speaking time. But you think the independents are just being smart?
Yeah. I mean, Sinn Féin are not going to be in opposition for the next 5 years, and after the next election they're going to be in opposition as well, because Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and a group of independents will make up the next government.
Have they made a logical decision? Well, okay, we are in opposition for the next 5 years, barring disasters, natural disasters, God forbid. We are in opposition for the next 5 years, so we're going to be the opposition. We're going to be the loudest. We're going to call the government out. This is what they say, hold them accountable. The disgrace on housing. I heard the list again this morning. They're a disgrace on housing, health, disability, education, you name it. But that's the job of opposition, isn't it? To oppose.
It's the job. No, I would take a slightly different view of you on that.
Okay.
The job of TDs is to question and to implement the decisions that the government makes. And whether you're a government TD in the backbenches and you get told when to pull up your hand or not pull up your hand. No, what the independent TDs are saying, that everybody should have a voice in the running of the country.
Okay, and everyone should be allowed as ministers or junior ministers or super junior, but they should be allowed as ministers' questions in the Dáil, because when you answer questions in the Dáil, you have the answers have to be truthful too. They have to be researched. It takes a lot of civil servants to actually compile the answers to questions, so they do hold a certain status above an interview in a newspaper or radio or whatever. And you're saying everyone should be allowed to ask those questions.
That's why we elect TDs to the Dáil. I mean, the Dáil is made up of 174 TDs at the moment. Are we going to deny half of them from speaking because of they're in opposition or they're in government or they're playing on both sides of the field or whatever? Everybody should be allowed to ask questions. And because, in fairness to the independents, I mean, I wouldn't have much grow for some of them, but I can see at the moment they're way smarter than the Fianna Fáil and the Fine Gael backbenchers, because they're getting something. The Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael backbenchers are going to be twiddling their thumbs for the next 5 years. And you have the independents are going to get all the different things that they ask for.
Yeah, but the other thing, the other thing that people haven't looked at is the demographic, is the age of the independents. A lot of the new Fine Gael group especially are very young. A lot of the Fianna Fáil group are very young. So they can bide their time, but the independents are up there all, and Michael Healy-Ray alluded to that. He said, I've been in the Dáil a long time, I'm not getting any younger. I want to be in a position of power, and that's why I'm going to support this government. And
I mean, Jackie Healy-Ray, as you just said,
Michael Healy-Ray
and Danny Healy-Ray, they have sons, daughters, cousins,
councillors,
to take up the mantles. The mantle, and you have the same with the rest of the independent TDs. They have a group of people around them who will take up the mantle. when they decide to die or retire or whatever.
Okay, Declan.
So, I mean,
Declan,
would be living with TDs?
Declan Wicklow. Okay, I'll go back to Declan Wicklow. Declan, what about Brian's point that every TD should be allowed question government minister or Taoiseach, regardless of their party political colour?
Well, my understanding is that they are. They are entitled to do so. But if you go back to Declan from Carlo's point of view, this looks very bad. It looks like a stitch-up. The people are coming to a deal which, on the face of it, is farcical, that you have TDs supporting the government on the opposition benches as well.
And Declan Carlo, come back in. What do you think of what Brian and Cork are saying?
Yeah, but Joe, as I said, it's just the whole signal out, and out for a couple of weeks, sending it out. As I said earlier, there's people, they're terrified their business is going to close, their carers can't get a carers allowance, and yet they're seeing all this carry on and they're all going off. And your man made a valid point. I mean, you can pick a team. I mean, that could have been all dealt with. Micheál Martin could be on his way back from the Oris by now at this hour today, at 2 o'clock today.
Yeah, but I know it makes a big difference. But, like, we still have a government. We still have a Taoiseach.
Yeah, no, I accept that, you see. But, you see, that's the point. People are not fools. People know all this. Simon Harris... or Simon Donnelly is still Minister for Health at this hour today, or Stephen Donnelly at 2 o'clock today.
Yeah.
Because the new Minister for Health is still not appointed.
Yeah.
You know, the outgoing Attorney General is still outgoing Attorney General. Micheál Martin is tarnished until he receives the seal of office from Michael D. Higgins. You know, and as I said, things still go on, but it's just a signal being sent out that they're on holidays. Okay, as I said, I'm the first to say it. I know they're not. They're in their constituency. They're in at other things and the whole lot. But it just sends out the wrong, signal.
I'm just reading.
That if, to keep it simple, the view that's going out internationally is that we have a government consisting of a government, and members of the government or members supporting the government are also in opposition. Like, that's a farce. And you made a very good point at the start. If they're so worried about their speaking time, why don't they go into the Dáil more often?
According to Harry McGee, and he's writing now, it's 20 minutes ago, he said that it could be midnight. It could be midnight by the time the Taoiseach is formally appointed, the way things are going. Anyway, well, it could be tomorrow. Midnight could be 1 minute after, and a second after midnight is tomorrow. Councillor Sean O'Hargan, he's a Labour Party councillor. I know you're a retired teacher, Sean.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Well, by the way, what do you think of Brian Gould's point there that the independents... are now playing senior hurling, and they've outmanoeuvred the Labour Party and the Social Democrats, and they've got five ministerial cars between them, which is a fantastic achievement, and five big jobs between them. Were Labour outmanoeuvred?
No, I don't think so, Joe. Okay. I think Labour went into negotiations.
I missed that day. What day was that?
Oh, no. They did. They met with the Taoiseach. They met with the leader of Fine Gael. And the reality was that the policy platform and offer was never going to be what the Labour Party wanted. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are much more happy with their old comrades, many of them from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, pretending to be independents now. So that's, the way it is.
So why do we have, apart from the reason, which is the opposition, so to speak, saying that people who support the government cannot be in opposition and therefore cannot get some of their time, is today just about the opposition who are thoroughly disappointed? As Brian Gould said, 5 more years of it'll be Pearce giving his speech at the condemning the budget or whatever. But he'd be doing it for 5 more years if he's still finance spokesperson. Is it frustration on the part of the opposition that's...
No, I think there's a great phrase in the Irish language, Joe, which is Curry Gael, which is pretending to be one thing and doing the other. And the reality is here, we cannot, there's no democracy that I'm aware of in the world where people are supporting the government, are involved in a group that are members of the government, and then are allowed to speak as opposition members to oppose the government that they're supporting. I mean, this stuff is lunacy. And the problem is, in terms of what's happening today, this could have been sorted out a week ago.
It's not new. In the previous administration, Nasser Harrigan, for example, was a regular critic of the government inside, of which she was, her party were members of, both inside and outside the Dáil. She was a regular critic. What's wrong with that? That's democracy. We're allowed. We don't live in North Korea.
No, to the best of my knowledge, Joan, Nessa Horrigan had lost her party whip at that stage.
Only afterwards. But she.
Yeah, but I mean, when you lose your party whip, then you're on the opposition bench.
What banner did she stand under in Dublin Central, Sean? You know that. She stood as a member of the Green Party.
And Nessa Horrigan can answer for herself. And we've often had people who are semi-connected.
The point I'm making is there is precedent.
I know the point. Yeah. But that's not, the precedent doesn't involve a group which has negotiated a programme for government then being given opposition speaking rights. That's a ludicrous position to be in. And look, Joe, the point I made really, apart from the party political points being made here, is as a teacher, I did something sacredly every year when I was a teacher, when a new teacher was being elected. And that was that I put a TV screen on or put up the whiteboard in the classroom, this ceremony, so that people could watch what is a sacred part of our democracy, which is the election of the Taoiseach. And I'm really glad that I'm not in the classroom today watching this ceremony with children and trying to explain to them the farce that is going on that could have been sorted out and should have been sorted out at least a week ago, so that, you know, whatever I feel about the politics of this government, I think the Taoiseach should be elected in a manner that's in keeping with normal decorum. And, you know, I think that's not happening today, and that's not happening because of the fact that the government and the Ceann Comhairle didn't sit down a week ago and sort the situation out with the opposition.
Okay. Sean, good to meet you. We've got Councillor Sean O'Hagan carrying the red flag for many decades valiantly down in Kilkenny. Eddie Cummins, and a great teacher as well. Eddie Cummins.
Joe, how are you?
Yeah, what's your observation from where you're sitting?
Well, Joe, I would just be, you know, I've voted all my life. I have voted for different parties over the last 50 years.
Yeah.
But like, my understanding of the situation is a group of independents got together and they formed a kind of an alliance, and that alliance went off and negotiated with the then government to form the Cumsum Agreement, yeah. And in reward for that, they got some minor ministerships, you know, like. And now they are part of the government, and they're going to be sitting around the cabinet table.
Three of them, yeah. Three of them.
Yeah. When you form an alliance, you're going to have a situation now where certain members of that alliance are going to be privy to information as formers of the government that the opposition won't be. Because, you know, we have this ridiculous rule where sometimes you have to wait 30, 40 years before we know what was said around the cabinet table before they came to an agreement. So they have an unfair advantage, and I think it's absolutely preposterous and ridiculous that they should be then allowed to sit on the opposition, knowing and having information that is apparently.
And Eddie, what do you think? And this will be my final question to everybody. What do you think of what Micheál Martin said on Sunday? He said if he doesn't think the public are exercised by this. Now they're exercised now because I see it breaking down. A lot of people are giving out by the fact that they're back for a day, which is only the second day since the beginning of November. There was nothing done on December the 18th except sign in. And they're back for a day and they're going on for another 2 weeks. That's exercising our listeners. But Micheál Martin said the issue of speaking time doesn't exercise the public. What do you think of that, Eddie, as a member of the public?
Well, Joe, I understand, and I've kind of listened to radio and I've watched politicians talk and how, you know, they say a week is a long time in politics. You know, you had a situation, a ridiculous situation where the vice president of America said that the people that were, the insurrection people of the 6th of February, whenever it was, should not be pardoned. And yes, the Prime came out and pardoned them. So people, politicians say what is appropriate for them to say at any given time. But for me personally, as a citizen of Ireland, I think it's wrong that a group of independents who are now forming part of the government and are privy to information that the opposition is not. And they will, by nature, being part of a group, will then divulge that information to their people in their group, in their alliance. And that is an unfair advantage to the opposition. It's hard enough now for the opposition to get answers for what might have been discussed at Cabinet. You know, and someone might say, well, you'll have to wait 30 years to find that out. When you have a group of independents on the opposition side privy to that information, that is unacceptable. You're either on the opposition or you're not. And you might say, that, like Lowry, we see the report that was into him. You know, he's a bit of a Trump there where he denies everything and he thinks that the legitimate
rule of law disagrees. But remember, he disagrees.
He disagrees, but Trump disagrees that the last election wasn't legitimate.
Well,
that
it was. By the way, it's the exact same line, Eddie, that Bertie Ahern took in that famous Sky interview where he walked off. He said he disagreed with the findings of the Flood Tribunal about him, about the...
But it's not...
And Lowry has said, Michael Lowry said, I disagree with what Judge Moriarty said in a tribunal of inquiry. It doesn't have any lead. There's no sanction. It doesn't have any legal status in that sense.
I can be found guilty and I can say, well, I disagree with the...
Found guilty by a tribunal. You're found guilty by the courts. Eddie, good to meet you, Margaret. Eddie, Declan, Brian, Sean and Declan Wicklow, Declan Carlo.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
The latest is the Dáil Business Committee agreed. Hildegard Nocton, the government chief, came in back into the Dáil, which had been suspended twice, at 1:15 to say we need 45 minutes for the business committee to meet and try and come up with a resolution. That meeting is still ongoing. And when the Dáil resumes, so to speak, if anything significant happens, and the main significance today would be, unless the government completely cave in and say the three non-ministerial members of the regional independent group will give them government time to speak, and if they resile on that, well, that's the end of the problem for the opposition. That's what they might do. Just to get over it, or remember, if it was such a significant part of the deal between the RIG and Fianna Fáil Fine Gael, could the whole House of Cards collapse over it if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael cave in to the opposition? But anyway, I don't think that's going to happen. But what will happen is that by the end of the day, or indeed early tomorrow morning, the new cabinet will be sitting. They hope to obviously hope to do it for the 9 o'clock news, where it might be the midnight news tonight when they do it. But that hardly makes much of a difference in the overall trend. Now, I want people seriously to listen to this. I want people to take notes, and I want people not to take note, to take note, because this is a nasty, nasty crime which is happening in Dublin at the minute. There's been a number of cases, and it is very nasty. And it involves two women, as far as we know. And I want Ruth Sporling, who's on WhatsApp, Ruth, to tell us about your son, Joshua, and this awful incident and what happened.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Ruth. Yeah.
Yes. So will I just shoot ahead?
Yeah, please do. Tell us about Joshua. What happened?
Yeah. Joshua is almost 23 and he was on a school trip. A college trip to Dublin,
okay,
from Bray.
Yeah,
and they finished up, and he loves Dublin. He, you know, we've worked very hard on his independence, so he went off to have something to eat, and he went to a shop on the quays.
And Joshua, just to be clear, has different challenges than
Joshua has Down syndrome.
Yeah,
okay. Sorry,
fine.
He's got that extra special chromosome.
Yeah.
Here. So he went into a shop on the quays and two girls approached him and told him they were hungry and could he get them some money. And he said he hadn't got money, and they asked him, did he have a card? So they took his card to the ATM in the shop, but the shop guy, whoever was working, he noticed what was going on and he ran them. So Joshua left the shop, but unfortunately they were lying in wait for him.
Wow.
And they accosted him, and just as much as I can get from Joshua, mm-hmm. they moved him from the Keys to the GPO ATM, where they took out €500.
Good God.
And they then, according to the Bank of Ireland, who have been fantastic, they made 5 more attempts to take money out.
And had they got Josh with them all the time?
Absolutely.
These two women basically accosted
from the Keys. The whole thing lasted about, from my reckoning with the timings from the bank, it lasted about 35 minutes.
Wow. Now, do you think they deliberately targeted Josh?
They deliberately targeted Josh.
Okay.
I only know that because a friend, when I told his peers, the parents of his peers, they said something similar happened yesterday. Same spot, 2 girls.
So there's these two women. And have we any description of them in terms of age?
My son, he was more able to give logistics at places and times, but he said they were 2 girls with blonde hair his age.
Okay, in their 20s.
I wouldn't be 100% sure.
And you believe, well, insofar as we know, but you believe from what happened, Josh, and you know, Josh, and what happened, this friend of Josh, that they are deliberately targeting Josh and who looked different.
Yeah, vulnerable young adults. Now, it's not Josh's friend, the other person. I don't know if it's a girl or a boy.
Okay.
It's a friend of a friend.
Okay, but that is that is a nasty, nasty. Yeah. They effectively kidnapped your son for 35 minutes.
Yeah. Now, they also, when they got the money, they were demanding that he took them for food.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, but he got away.
Good lad.
He went up Grafton Street. Because he usually gets his bus. He's a real habit. You know, ritual. So Dallier Street was off the cards. I can just imagine him being kind and sweet because he's just a very pure person, you know, and probably just kept saying, I need to get my bus. I need to get my bus. And he went up to Grafton Street and got the bus up on Stephen's Green and didn't ring me for a while. So I think he was confused because, you know, he still sort of thinks they were hungry and he was helping them.
Yeah.
So it's just so sad and so upsetting because, you know, it's everything we dread as parents of specimens, children growing up, that when we give them that independence and we have our hearts in our mouths when they go out.
So they accosted them around O'Connell Bridge. One of the shops there, very busy shops there around Aston Quay. They accosted him there. In fairness, the manager of the shop came to Josh's aid and told he knew what these women were trying to do. They hadn't done anything at that stage and he ran them basically.
Something had happened with his card. It somehow got locked in the machine.
It happens,
he used a key, he said. The man came with his key.
Okay, so he ran the two women.
Yeah.
But they were waiting for Josh again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they tried, they got €500 at least.
Yeah,
and they tried six ATMs.
They tried one ATM 6 times. So they went 400. They tried different amounts each time, going down in hundreds.
Yeah.
But I had a limit, and that was the actual.
Yeah, well done.
That's the lowest limit, but like still isn't low enough.
And would Josh know how much they robbed?
No, he said to me, oh, don't worry, Mom, it was just a couple of fivers. Mm-hmm. Because he obviously saw the 5 on the note.
It's the 50s.
Yeah.
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 And how was Josh himself? Was he?
I think he was in shock because I said, you know, you should have gone to someone. And he said, I went to the Shelburne Hotel and I had told the doorman.
Okay, fair. Josh, he's a great lad.
He's a funny lad. But, you know, He seems okay. I do know that from experience of other parents with children with Down syndrome that they can have delayed reactions to trauma like this because it's not normal to not react to something like that because it's so out of his.
But as you say, Josh is in as in what's in Josh's head at the minute is they kept saying to him we're hungry, and Josh I empathize with that. I'll help you. I'll feed you.
Yeah.
He was just being human.
But they
were being inhuman.
Yeah, and preying on vulnerable people. It's quite despicable.
Now, the Gardaí, I hope, are taking this very seriously.
The Gardaí, I got on the straight into the car and met him in Bray.
Okay.
I told him to get off the bus in Bray, and we went to the guards in Bray. They took a statement, but it has to go to Dublin.
Aston Quay is Pearse Street. And the GPO is Store Street, so we've two Garda stations.
Yeah.
But your son was effectively taken against his will.
Yeah, by two women.
For 35 minutes.
Yeah. Shocking. In broad daylight.
In broad daylight.
Yeah.
Now, is there any CCTV, Ruth? Do we know?
The Bank of Ireland have been fantastic. They have got the CCTV from the GPO. They've sent it to the guards already.
Yeah, great.
And they have nothing to do with the shop because it's not a Bank of Ireland machine.
Oh, I know them, yeah.
There's no evidence on his...
Well, fair play to that shop manager.
Yes,
he or
absolutely.
She. Fair play
absolutely.
To them now.
I have to go in and thank him or her, I'm not sure. Yeah.
And make sure his superiors know how good he did. The action that he took.
Absolutely.
But anyway, as you say, there they were, the two women laying in wait outside.
Yeah, and I'm just concerned that this is MO, and they played a lottery yesterday, and they can see, wow, this is a winning ticket here, winning formula, that kind of target, you know.
But apart from targeting young people with Down syndrome to stick with it for 35 minutes.
Yeah.
They've some neck in this in the busiest street in the country.
Yeah.
In broad daylight.
I know. I mean, I don't know why or what. We can all probably assume. And although whatever's going on for them can maybe be explained, it can't be excused in this day and age. Just can't.
Okay. I need to take an ad break, Ruth. Back after this. Joe at rt.ie 51551.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Yesterday at 1:15, Dublin City Centre, Aston Quay to the GPO, Joshua Sporling, 23, Down syndrome, as Ruth, his mother, pointed out. He was basically kidnapped outside a shop in Aston Quay by two women in their 20s who had tried to get money off him, who had targeted Josh. Josh was rambling around town, which is his right, and he's done it before. He's rambling around town. Ruth believes the two women spotted Josh's difference and vulnerability, they read it as, and they got marched him. First of all, they were run out of a shop in Aston Quay. Fair play to that person who ran them out, who spotted what was going on. But they lay in wait for Josh, and they got him, and they brought him to a number of ATM machines up and around the GPO and got 500 quid off him. Now, Fionnuala O'Riordan is listening. Fionnuala, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
This really upsets people who are in a similar situation with their adult children, doesn't it, or even teenage children?
Yes, absolutely, because you want to give them as much independence as you can. But I just have some advice, and I did this, and it has worked very well.
Okay.
I was very aware that my adult son would be vulnerable to similar scam. So what you can do with any bank is you can go and set up a separate account that has its own ATM card, and then you online, you can limit the amount of money that is in that account. So, for example, I never leave more than 80 in my son's account, and I can move money from his own account, because he has his own income and disability, into this ATM card, and I keep an eye on it. And it allows him to have his own independence, but it doesn't leave him open to a scam, you know.
Okay. And why the 80 limit? For example, would he get home in a taxi for 80 quid if he was stuck?
He never would take a taxi, but I get your point. You could. No, yeah. he has a travel pass.
Oh, great.
So he'd never be out at night on his own.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I see what you're saying. But you can put whatever amount you think they need.
Yeah.
And you can change it day to day. So if you know your child...
And your son, who you say has the different, you used the word disability, phenolic, he does like going out on his own, I presume, like most of us do, or rambling around town. So. Yeah, life.
Yes, not so much in town now. It'd be out around Blackrock where we live, and people are very good.
That is a town. That's a lively spot, and people and cars and bookshops and cafe shops and shopping centres and libraries. Yeah. There's loads to see.
Oh, and, you know, our children, our adult children, if you put it that way, they need their independence, you know, and they, certainly my own son, he loves his independence. Yeah. He loves to go for a walk and go for a cup of coffee or McDonald's.
Brilliant.
So you need to allow them that,
but now
it's
this is very worrying.
Very, very worrying.
As I say, fair play to Ruth. It only happened yesterday, but she's heard, and I think we've heard of another case as well, where these two women are spotting who they regard as vulnerable young men. I suspect, or presume they do it to young women as well, who they think will have money because they're on their own in town, and most people have an ATM or whatever. And they're basically stealing from them. Kidnapping them and then stealing from them.
It's disgraceful.
Disgusting crime.
I would worry also, Joe,
Ruth,
if he didn't have money on him, what would they do? Because they would believe that he has money.
Yeah.
So for me, the money was not an issue.
Okay.
Safety was an issue, and that's why I'm quite my nervous system is through the roof because of the what. I know it didn't happen, but if he were to say I don't have money, what's next? You know. Yeah. So just hand it over. I've told him hand it over, then ring your mother.
Ruth, but I think that's very good advice. By the way, hand it over and don't give them any more reason to do more hurt to you than they've already done by accosting you, hijacking you, walking you up through town for 35 minutes and going to different ATMs to try and get more money out of them. Mm. But Nola, do we encourage passers-by if they see two women at an ATM with somebody who looks vulnerable, do we get them to say, are you okay? Or do we get them to do what that manager in that shop did?
Yes, I think so. I mean, you very quickly find out if it's legitimate or not. You would know. And I've been very grateful in the past when people have helped, you know, my son. And I have to tell you that, you know, a couple of times I've forgotten to top up his ATM card. And he's gone into McDonald's, and because they recognise him, they give him food.
Brilliant.
And when I go down to pay, they're quite surprised and they say, you needn't bother.
Isn't that fantastic?
They're so good. So people want
in the main, Irish people, anyway, people generally are very... very, very good. Ashling McNiff, your son Jack, Down syndrome. Is he independent, Ashling?
Jack? No. No, Jack would be completely different to Joshua.
Okay.
But I just messaged in to support Ruth because Ruth and Joshua are really good friends of ours.
Lovely.
And I'm heart sore to think of people taking advantage of Joshua, who is the most wonderful, independent young man.
Sounds like it,
And my heart breaks for Ruth because she's worked so hard for his independence and to be taken advantage of. And I mean, if you know, disability allowance is nothing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, our kids and our young adults, they need that. And Joshua needs his independence, and it's hard earned. And I just hope he doesn't get knocked. You know, his confidence doesn't get knocked. And I know Ruth is going to be so worried, and his dad, they're going to be so worried about him. Because it's already so hard. And you do worry about your children if they have special needs all the time anyway. Because they're vulnerable, you know.
What would you say?
What
would you say to Josh? How do we support him? And well, Ruth is doing, and her husband, I'm sure, doing a brilliant job.
His college have actually been great.
Okay, brilliant, brilliant.
Chat with him. He was at his work. He's got a little job here in Greystones, and today, so tomorrow they're going to sit with him because he may open up to someone who isn't the, you know, the mother. about how he feels, you know, even though he seems okay. I'll just keep an eye on him, but unfortunately he won't be going to, he loves going to the cinema, but he will only be going now with his dad or with me
And did he go to a lot of people like going to the cinema on their own? Did he like going to the pictures on his own, Ruth?
He goes about three times a week into Dublin. He's either in Dunleary or Dublin.
And
or
you'll have to suspend that
unless he's with somebody. I just wouldn't. It wouldn't be worth it for me. I'd have to be trailing him like I used to in the old days behind trees. That's what we did. For 3 or 4 years, you'd be hiding, watching them so they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And now I can just let him go. And now it's like, not quite back to square one, but we're back to just with an added nervousness.
Well, we've someone else, Ruth. I'm sorry, but this woman's just too awfully upset. This happened to you yesterday. Happened Josh yesterday.
Yes.
On Monday, this woman has written it down for us. Last Monday, my son, who has mild autism and also borderline mild intellectual disability, was on his way to college in Dublin city centre. He was waiting at a traffic light about to cross when two young women came over to him and asked him for money, and he said no. They then took him to a bank machine, but he had no card. They then took him across the Liffey, across the bridge, to the ILAC centre, and they splashed 700 quid on his Apple Pay. Obviously, he had it in his phone or whatever. I rang him worried and talked him away from the two women, and it was not until again, what you said, Ruth, about his routine. It was not until my son was back on the Lewis that we were able to be a little bit safe. And he was worried all the time because of these two women that he was who robbed 700 quid off him. Took him, by the way, again, a distance from the south side to the north side. He's worried all the time that he was being followed. Now, isn't that horrific? That's Monday.
Oh,
in Dublin,
God.
In the exact same, almost the exact same location. Two young women. The same MO as that, use that awful phrase.
Wow.
Now, these two women have to be caught. They have to be caught.
And Joe, but you know, in Ruth's case,
could
the Gardaí not go into the shop and speak to the shop assistant?
I'm sure they will. Well,
he'd have a good description.
Yeah, well, my little worry is that because the initial incident took place on Aston Quay and the subsequent incidents took place across the Liffey, you're two different Garda divisions. You have Pierce Street and you have Store Street. Now, and of course they all work together. But what we need now is a chief super or someone up the line to start ringing now this afternoon, Pierce Street and Store Street, and said who was in Aston Quay, who went into the shop in Aston Quay, who was at the GPO, and I want the seven guards or whoever, hopefully there was more than that, who were investigating. I want us to meet now this afternoon. The seven of us meet together and we decide how we catch these two women. They have to be caught.
Good idea.
They're costing and hijacking and then robbing and by the way, terrorising not just the parents as we hear this afternoon. Even Aisling, you could hear it in Aisling's voice, and Aisling is okay. Jack thankfully hasn't had anything happen to him like that, hopefully, but Aisling is just empathising because she knows Josh and she thinks it's horrific. So something has to be done now fairly quick. This is a pretty serious carry-on. And as Ruth says, pretty serious crime. And as Ruth says, what happens if anybody that they accost, and they accost them because they see that they may be vulnerable, that they might be able to hoodwink them. What happens if they honestly don't have any money and they're walking up around O'Connor Street, and they walk them down Abbey Street, and they walk them up, and oh, the lane is closed. They walk and say, oh, let's take this shortcut down this lane onto the quays. Anyway, it's awful. Ruth, thank you. Ruth, above all, thank you. Thank you. There will be more, and stay listening, Ruth. But thank you for contacting us, because it's happening. And hopefully these two women are only discovered this awful method of robbing money off vulnerable young people, and that we'd be able to nip it in the bud. Stay with us. Joe at RT.ie. 51551 is the text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now we're going to try and get on to the Garda press office and see, are there any developments in these awful crimes that have been happening twice now, but that we know of? Monday afternoon, broad daylight, Dublin city centre, between basically O'Connor Bridge and the GPO and back again. And yesterday, 1:15, O'Connell Bridge, south side and up to GPO, £500 robbed from Joshua, and who, as his mother Ruth pointed out, he has the magic chromosome, Down syndrome. He has the magic chromosome. He's a gorgeous, gorgeous boy. But these two women, same Monday and Tuesday, two women accosted Josh and basically took him and to ATM machines and got money off him. And then on Monday, two women, again around the same time, no ATM machine for the child that the mother told us about. Not a child, he's a young adult. And but they did, again, bring him across to a place where they cleaned out his Apple Pay. You know Apple Pay on your phone? They got £700 out of him. Niamh, you know Ruth and Josh?
Yeah, I do, Joe, yeah. Josh is the same age as my daughters, but they were brought up to so they would know each other from when they were really young. Okay. And my daughter has Down syndrome as well, so.
Okay. And now you heard Ruth saying she's going to have to be, and she was always careful anyway, but she's going to have to say to Josh, if you're going to pictures, he goes three times a week, and he's 23. If you go to pictures, someone's going to have to go with you.
Yeah, and the challenge, isn't it? Because you want your children, you want your young adults to have independence. And I suppose I listened to Fionnuala, and I know what she was saying about kind of limiting the amount.
Yeah.
But like, I suppose that's, to me, there's a real dilemma about that. So why should we have to? They should have as much rights as other young person at that age. And I suppose that is the worry that I have. Like, my daughter has a sibling who's 2 years younger than her, and she wants to be the same as her sibling and have that freedom. You know, and then I wouldn't let her out at night on her own. But during the day, she wants to be independent. She wants to go places locally.
Yeah.
And that's always that fear. I just think
a lot of young people, as we know, don't carry cash. You carry your card, and you're depending on your card. You could be spending a couple of $100 a day between taxis or if you go into town.
Yeah, and I told her to be careful with her card.
Yeah,
but she knows, you know, she wants to have her card and she wants to be the same, you know. And I just think it's frightening. And I do advise her to try and not use an ATM outside, go into a shop or a bank. But look, you saw what happened there. They originally approached him
in a shop.
Yeah, you know.
I just think it's
very sad, you know,
and the
fact they've done it before, and I'm sure they've done it other times or have attempted to do it.
Well, I'm thinking they operate, well, it seems they operate around this time every day. I'm sure they've done it on more people. We've only,
I would say,
three examples so far between calls and knowing about another incident. This is the time they operate, and let's hope the Gardaí are doing. But again, I Ruth, and this is in no way to dilute the horror. Not that's been visited on Josh, but that's been visited on the parents and guardians of young people who have the magic chromosome, as you said. Like, I don't know whether you saw that incident that was going around on social media since Monday of the, looked like a Ukrainian man in his 30s.
Oh, on the Lewis.
Screwdriver.
This
was in my mind yesterday.
This little,
I was like sick. Yeah.
This little rat.
Yeah.
Comes up to this and sits beside him and starts abusing him and takes out this 6-inch screwdriver and starts threatening him. Then he has one of these sophisticated pliers in his pocket. He shows him that as well. Then he stands up, this little scut. Then he stands up and starts bellowing into... How that man kept his patience, I do not know. Threatening this man, what he wouldn't do to him with the screwdriver, jabbing the screwdriver. Now, I hope he's caught, because he was clearly identifiable on social media. But anyway, that would frighten the living life out of you.
Yeah.
Because if he's prepared to do that to a grown man, I'd say the man, from what we could see, was twice the size of this scut.
Yeah.
But the venom and the anger in that youngster's face with the screwdriver.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's worried. You'd be worried sick. Maria.
Yeah, I think the other worry is, Joe, that I think Ruth mentioned earlier, sometimes it takes our young people a little bit longer to process things and even to process the trauma of it. And my concern always with Sive is that sometimes she doesn't tell me when something is wrong, because in fairness, they want to please people, you know, and be the same. And, you know, to be like they expect people to be friendly and nice to them. So they haven't got that sense of suspicion
that's
that we might have, you know, and I suppose that's the worry. Yeah. You know, people take advantage of that.
That's their pure, I just used the word pure earlier on, that is their pure human disposition, that people are kindly and friendly, just as I am, just as they are, they are. Maria Bourke is in Kinsale. Maria.
Hi, Joe, how are you?
Good, thanks. You're listening.
I am listening, Joan. I'm really appalled. I myself have a beautiful brother, Francis, who was born with Down syndrome. And listening to that mother and speaking about what happened to Josh, I cannot believe it. And I myself work as a public health nurse, and I've also done my learning disability training many years ago in St. Joseph's Clonsilla. I've worked in Cheever's Town House in Dublin. And I am just, I must say, what is the world coming to? And I, myself and Francis went to Belfast in September. And what I did note, what I was delighted about, we got the train to Dublin, we got the Lewis to Conley, we got the train to Belfast. And myself and Francis experienced nothing but courtesy. People got up off the Lewis to give Francis a seat. I couldn't believe it, actually, because I've worked in Dublin for many years. But I had to send in a message. My God, if someone did that to my beautiful Francis, I mean, I'm just appalled.
You'd lose your mind.
Lose your mind. And what is it? I mean, it's like education needs to start early, teaching our young people that no matter, we're all beautiful people, we're not our disability, and we are all deserving of unconditional love.
Yeah. Okay.
So I my heart goes out to that family, and I really hope they catch those two girls. And equally, what's going on for those two girls that would do that to somebody who is visibly, like Down syndrome, they have visible features. They're beautiful and loving and kind and warm and a big smile. And if you show them kindness, they'll give it back tenfold. But what... that kind of behaviour, what was going on for those two girls? That's the question I'd be asking.
Okay,
I had to send in a message, and I had to, voice my concern, and my heart goes out to everybody that's ringing in. And please just show some kindness and be kind to each other and be gentle to each other.
As people do in the main, but... that's why we have a police force, and that's why we're asking people to be extra vigilant. Yeah. Thanks, Maria. Back after this break.
Okay.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Well, there's nothing happening in it all. At 1:15, they said they were going to have a business that was suspended again. No, sorry, it was suspended twice in... very raucous circumstances earlier on. You heard it there. We'll hear it again. I don't think people can take the full minute on, but let's hear some. But again, this is your National Parliament this morning.
Cam Corlett, there is no good reason not to give us the OPLA legal advice now. Tell us when we'll get the legal advice, Cam Corlett. We need to get the legal advice, Cam Corlett.
You can suspend the House again if you can't resume.
We need to get the legal advice, Cam Corlett.
Suspend the House for 30 minutes. Thank you very much.
Okay, we leave it at that. But apparently, what was it they used to say? There was a row outside the Dáil and... there was a row in Kildare Street and a Dáil sitting broke out in the middle of it. No, that didn't happen, obviously. But there's a row. The row is still going on, obviously, in those comité rooms. And unless I'm missing it, no, I'm looking at it. I think that's an earlier clip from Sky, I think. If it was back in the Dáil, if the Dáil was back sitting, surely we'd have it up on the screen. I just see Sharon interviewing TD after TD after TD, Alan Kelly, Michael Healy Ray, Niall Collins, and I presume they're all basically saying we don't have, we're never on the radio or the television, they're never off it, which is their right, by the way. And as a country, we're, if you listen to BBC, you don't, it's not as connected to politics as we are here in Ireland, which is a very good sign, very energetic and democratic sign. But anyway, the Dáil is still. Is still prorogued, and we're now heading, even it's now, I'm looking at Niall Collins, TD, very competent, obviously, on the plinth, and it's nearly dark, so to speak, aptly enough, in the Dáil. So will Micheál Martin be Taoiseach on this day, or will it be tomorrow? It's inevitable. Will it be the 22nd? Of January or the 23rd, or will it go on and on and on? Okay, who's Bernard Kilrain? Sorry, Bernard, you should be talking, yep. Not me. Sorry, I didn't.
Okay, Joe, whatever. I don't know where to start. I'm so annoyed that I don't know what I want to say. But I'm not by any means in my youth now, but listening to what went on today, it is just unbelievable. I cannot believe that our national parliament has come to such a disgraceful situation. Mm. I mean, the government, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and they did a deal to bring the independence group in,
yeah.
And the independents guaranteed that they would support the government through thick and thin.
Thick and thin, exactly. And, good days and so bad then, days.
It was like
a wedding vow.
Oh, yeah.
In sickness and in health.
Absolutely. They were celebrating with champagne and all. But anyway, the... situation now is that some of the independents who didn't get that, well, you know the story, they didn't get
three of them, yeah.
Yeah, and now they say, oh, well, we're in opposition. But I mean, I heard a number of people saying, oh, well, they're entitled to have speaking rights. They have speaking rights in the back benches of the government. That's where they have speaking rights there. And I heard, I was very annoyed with Norma Foley said the other day that if the likes of Michael, Lowry, didn't have speaking rights on the opposition benches, then he wouldn't be able to speak. And that's a total lie. I mean, he has rights as an opposition or as a government backbencher to speak, the same as every other backbencher in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And he wants a double thing. He wants to be able to speak as a government thing, and he wants to be able to speak from the opposition benches. And the whole thing is just, I mean, it's unseemly.
Okay, it's not a, we the word lie is unparliamentary language, so we'll scratch that from the record. Stay there, Bernard. Well, David, I'll come back to David Smith.
A deliberate untruth, I'll put it that way.
Fairly parliamentary. Yeah, David Smith. Yeah. In Sligo, David, your contribution, please.
Well, Joe, earlier people said, you know, same circus, different clowns. Well, really, it's become the same circus, the same clowns. And I think it's down now, really, what they're not interested in the people at all. We have elected them. They're our employees. And if we were in any company in Ireland and carried on like that, you'd be kicked out in the street. Now, we can't kick them out and go back again. But
well,
like,
you can at an election, but it's only...
I know. They're not interested in us at all. It's about their wages and their pensions, and more about their pensions than all the bits and pieces. They're like, when you Google what they're on, they're, some of them are on up to 4,000 a week, and they've done nothing since November. Like, who else would, what other country in the world would put up with this, Joe, where we've elected parliamentarians that haven't, they've met once to elect the Cancora, and I think they thought by electing the Cancora that they could railroad in this speaking time because she's on their side.
But I think, was it not Belgium a few years, and most parliamentarians, I know we're up in the top 10 in terms of salaries and pensions and various other accoutrements for a parliamentarian, but most parliamentarians are paid well. And was it not Belgium, was it 5 years ago, that didn't have a government, had a caretaker government for 2 years because they couldn't agree. But anyway... Let's hope we're not. Belgium was supposed to be boring.
We've never had the like of this before, and I think that, like, there is supposed to be rules there, and rules are meant to be obeyed. But there, it's becoming the old thing. We'll just push something aside so we can do what we want
to do. It's coming up to the belling hour of 3 o'clock. Maybe that will get them back into the chamber, but they're not back in as of yet. Okay, good to meet them, Margaret, Paul Mernick on sound, Shane Galvin, broadcast coordinator, Annette Egan, produce, Ray Darcy next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Home in on end-of-season savings on bedding, curtains, wallpapers and more. In-store and online at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.